Well, today is Good Shepherd Sunday, and in the Gospel today, Jesus tells us the distinctive quality of the Good Shepherd, what sets him apart from the other hired shepherds. So we'll be a little interactive in the homily today. Who paid enough attention to remember what that was? What is the thing that sets the Good Shepherd apart? Oh my gosh, it's not that bad, is it? Very good. He is the one who lays his life down for his sheep, for his flock, right? That is the distinctive quality of really any good leader. I mean, we look around our world today and we know that we lack good leadership in many areas, whether it's politics or maybe at your job or even within our families. So many times when difficulties come up or some situation goes wrong, our leaders, they want to pass the buck, blame somebody else, right? We all do it. I do it too. Sometimes, you know, I've changed a mass time and not communicated effectively that change was made. So then I get a complaining email and I respond, "We regret that we have inconvenienced." What is that? The royal we? No. It's like me covering my butt, right? So we all do this, but Jesus does not. He is the good shepherd. He takes responsibility. He takes accountability for his flock. He lays down his life for his flock. One of the areas that we, of course, need really good leadership in is the church. We need good priests. In this year, especially, of course, we're praying here in our diocese for vocations to the priesthood, to have priests who are shepherds after the heart of the good shepherd. And so maybe we want to ask that question today. What does it mean to be a good priest, to lay down one's life for his flock? Now, before all of you who are not single men decide that you can go to sleep during this homily, no, because first of all, as Christians, we are all called to do the same thing. You know, obviously, a priest does it in a different way, but we are all called to do the same things. And furthermore, think about this. One day, your son or your grandson or your godson or a friend of yours may come to you and say, "I'm thinking about being a priest." Or maybe they'll say, "I really don't want to be a priest, but God keeps putting it on my heart," or something like that, right? What are you going to say to them? What advice would you give them? And so unless we really think about what it means to be a good priest, how that is lived out, we're not going to be able to give that kind of advice that someone might need. So let's think about this. We can to understand what it means to lay down one's life for the sheep. We can look today at one of the very first priests, maybe the greatest priest that Jesus gave to his church, St. Peter, right? He is preaching in the first reading today, and he shows us two ways that the priest is supposed to lay down his life, by deed and by word. So the first thing that he says is, we are being questioned about a good deed that has been done to a cripple. As a priest, our entire life is about doing good for other people, doing good deeds. We have the opportunity to do them for all kinds of different people in all kinds of different situations. Just last week, I had one of our little school girls in my office because she got in trouble in mass, right? All the school parents are like, "I hope he's not talking about my daughter." Anyway, her teacher talked to her, and then the principal had talked to her, and then you really know you're in trouble when you got to go to the priest's office, right? Not that I know anything more about education than any of them, but you know, as a priest, you have the opportunity to talk about things from the perspective of faith. What does God want of you? What is obedience about? Why is the mass important? So, you know, we did that. We'll see if it did any good in about 20 years, I guess, but certainly, it's a great privilege as a priest to be able to help discipline our children and raise them in the faith. Or again, a couple of weeks ago, we got left on our general voicemail a kind of really sarcastic phone call. This fellow said, "What a surprise, a Catholic church where no one answers the phone." And so I was like, you know, maybe you should not leave your message in the general mailbox, like leave it on my extension. But anyway, we did get back in touch with him. It was very interesting. This fellow is a trucker. And, you know, he was saying, like, As a trucker, it's hard to go to Mass on Sundays. You can't pull your semi into the parking lot, you know, and it's hard to get to confession. So things like that. So we were able to get back in touch with him, and Father David was actually able to run out and hear his confession. We were able to minister to his needs as well. So as a priest, you have the opportunity to do good deeds to people of all walks of life. Now, again, all Christians are called to do good deeds. But, you know, for most of us, the basic priorities of life work something like this. I have to get a job. I have to get a house. I want to find a spouse and get married. And I want to raise a family. And then, you know, with whatever time and other things I've got left over, I try to do good deeds. But I got to take care of the basic necessities of life first. Well, see, that's exactly what a priest doesn't do. That's exactly how a priest lays down his life, because we don't have a job. I mean, you may think that sounds attractive, but it's not that we don't have work. It's just that we don't get to pick our job. The bishop says, here, this is what you're going to do, right? We don't have a job. We don't have a house. We have a rectory. We don't have a wife or children. We instead give our entire life over to doing good deeds. We lay down our life for the flock in that sense. So that's one important way in which a priest must lay down his life, as Jesus teaches us. Now, the other way that St. Peter brings out here is to lay down our life by word. Because what does he say? What is his whole message? That there is only one name given to mankind by which we can be saved, the name of Jesus Christ. Now, again, it is the duty of every Christian to proclaim that, to teach the gospel. But in a particular way, it's the priest's job. It's his call, his vocation to preach and to teach in season and out of season that there is one absolute truth, that there is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. There is only one gospel message that can save us. Whether that makes you popular or unpopular, whether you have your own opinions on things or not, as a priest, you must lay down your life and only preach the truth of Jesus Christ. This is, I think, sometimes, I mean, well, here, I'll ask you, what do you think would be the most difficult part of being a priest? Just, what do you think?
Hearing confessions.
Hearing confessions? Okay, that's fair. Anybody else?
Loneliness.
Sorry?
Loneliness.
Loneliness. Okay, yes. And those can be difficult things. I mean, most people, I think, would probably say loneliness, celibacy would be the most difficult part. Actually, my mother always said that about confession, too, but I found out that is not true in my own life. But from my own experience, it's not a celibacy or anything like that that's the most difficult. For me, the most difficult thing that I experience as a priest is having to hurt other people's feelings by preaching the truth, you know, by insisting upon the absolute truth of the gospel, even though it makes somebody feel bad. You know, as parents, you all understand this, that a lot of times we have to hurt our children's feelings in order to discipline them and guide them in the right way. As a father of a parish, I have to do the same thing. One of the worst things that I have to do is, like, when people come to me and say, I want to be a godparent or a confirmation sponsor, and I have to say, you don't even go to church. You know, sorry, you can't do that. Or people come to me in confession, but to get back to your point here, you know, sometimes they're living with someone that they're not married to. You know, I have to say, well, I can't give you absolution until we're able to walk through this situation. It sucks, right? Because it makes them upset, it makes me upset. It's a very difficult situation. But as a priest, you've got to be willing to lay down your life for the flock, for the truth, that to stand for the truth that Jesus is the Savior. So, those are the ways, as a priest, that we must lay down our life for the flock. And I have no doubt that there are men here today that Jesus is calling to be a priest. And so I encourage you, you know, if you're a single man, to open your mind, open your heart to that possibility, to really discern whether that is a call for you. And for the rest of us, too, to really pray. Really pray that we are given these kinds of good, holy priests who can lead the church in the way that Jesus leads the church. Not just passing the buck, but really taking responsibility, laying down their life for the flock. And so I know we usually do this at the end of Mass, but today why don't we go ahead and pray our prayer for vocations to the priesthood right now. O God, our Father, You made each of us to use our gifts in the body of Christ. We ask that you inspire those in our diocese whom you are calling to the priesthood to courageously follow your will. Send laborers into your great harvest so that the gospel is preached, the poor are served with love, the suffering are comforted, and your people are strengthened by the sacraments. We ask this through Christ our Lord.